let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street, Dow Jones Industrial Average down 57 at 17,675. S&P 500 down 6 at 2,071. NASDAQ Composite down 44 at 4,800. Yield on the 10-year Treasury up 5 basis points at 1.62%. Oil up $1.92 at $48.13 per barrel. Gold up $20 at $12.99 per ounce. This week, the Dow and S&P 500 each lost right at 1%. NASDAQ gave up almost 2%. The Dow and S&P still not far from record highs. Still, the Dow made a run at the 18,000 level, failed. S&P 500 broke through 2,100, then fell back. Seems they just can't break through. Major headwinds appear to be the Brexit and slowing growth. The International Monetary Fund delayed a report on Britain's economy, and both sides of the referendum suspended campaigns due to the murder of Joe Cox, a member of parliament and Remain campaigner. The IMF says a marked rise in political risk threatens to derail the Eurozone's still fragile recovery. IMF Chief Christine Lagarde said the IMF was neutral regarding the Brexit vote, but they have concluded that the economic risk of leaving are firmly to the downside. The Bank of England and the ECB seem to be preparing for some kind of a meltdown if the Brits vote to leave, although the exact nature or cause of the meltdown scenario is a bit vague. The Bank of England says uncertainty over the referendum is weighing on the economy. Nearly 40% of voters surveyed said Brexit would make no difference to the economy. Another 25% said it would be a positive development. We'll know more in a week. Until then, keep calm, carry on. The European Stability Mechanism has transferred about 7.5 billion euro to Greece, which still owes the ECB 3.6 billion euro in debt payments next week. This is just a stopgap measure. Greece owes its creditors more than 300 billion euro, about 180% of its annual economic output. The IMF forecasts that debt to GDP will grow to 250%, and Greece just can't repay the debt. All the austerity has not helped the economy. Unemployment still running at 25%. Greece is bankrupt in all but name. And the question now shifts to debt relief, which the creditors, mainly Germany, have been slow to acknowledge. St. Louis Fed President James Bullard said this morning that the U.S. economy is stuck in a slow growth pattern likely to persist for the foreseeable future. Bullard, a former inflation hawk whose views of the economy have been shifting, said he now sees current growth, unemployment, and inflation rates as so persistent there is basically no reason to change the federal funds policy rate, currently set in a range between 1/4 and 1/2 percentage points. Housing starts dipped in May but held near recent highs. Starts fell 0.3% to a seasonally adjusted annual pace of 1.16 million. Permits, which foreshadow future starts, rose 0.7% to 1.14 million. So far in the second quarter, starts averaging a 1.17 million pace. That's up from the second quarter, which was an increase from the final 3 months of last year. The increase in total building permits, mainly driven by apartment building permits, which were up 6.7% at 381,000. Single home permits fell 2% to 726,000. Oil gained today following a losing streak that saw West Texas Intermediate drop 10.9% from a June 8th high of 51.23. The Dallas Fed has issued a report warning that banks in Texas, Louisiana, and New Mexico are setting aside money to guard against loan losses, as the energy companies they serve struggle amid still low oil prices. Revlon is buying Elizabeth Arden for $870 million, or $14 a share. The deal represents about a 50% premium to yesterday's closing price. Oracle posted a mixed quarter. The company announced adjusted earnings of 81 cents per share, missing estimates. Revenue slipped 1.1% to $10.6 billion, but that beat estimates. Federal regulators have closed an investigation of Lumber Liquidators after the company agreed not to resume sales of Chinese-made laminate flooring. The company stopped selling the flooring last year, a couple of months after a news report on 60 Minutes said it contained high levels of the carcinogen formaldehyde. The U.S. Consumer Protection Safety Commission said that Lumber Liquidators tested the air quality in 17,000 households, and none had formaldehyde above guidelines. Customers who installed the Chinese-made flooring should not just rip it out. Instead, they can call Lumber Liquidators to have their air tested. HSBC has agreed to pay $1.6 billion to settle a lawsuit related to subprime lending. If the courts approve the deal, it would end a 14-year-old shareholder class action lawsuit stemming from the household international consumer finance business that the British bank bought in 2003. Beijing's intellectual property office has ruled against Apple in a patent dispute brought by a Chinese handset maker, claiming the iPhone 6 and 6S models are similar to Shenzhen Beili's 100C phone. Beili is not a well-known company, not particularly popular. China is Apple's second-largest market, and Apple is a very popular phone among Chinese consumers. For now, Apple says sales in China continue as they appealed the decision. Looking to bolster its weak position in the onshore market, Siemens has agreed to combine its wind business with that of Gamesa to create the biggest builder of wind farms. Having weathered years of overcapacity and losses, the wind industry is now thriving as demand for carbon-free electricity increases. Amazon bought a company called Kiva about 4 years ago for $775 million, and it looks like that acquisition is starting to pay off. Kiva makes robots, specifically robots that work in a warehouse to fill orders and manage inventory. According to a new research report by Deutsche Bank, Amazon's click-to-ship cycle used to be around 60 to 75 minutes when employees had to manually sift through the stacks, pick the product, pack it, ship it. Now, robots handle the same job in 15 minutes. At the end of the third quarter last year, Amazon was using 30,000 Kiva robots across 13 warehouses. Each robot warehouse can hold 50% more inventory per square foot than centers without robots. In turn, the company's operating costs have been sliced by 20%, almost $22 million per warehouse. And Amazon still has 110 warehouses not yet using the robots. Total savings could be in the range of $2.5 billion. For now, Amazon is still hiring humans. Tesla Motors partner NVIDIA has developed a supercomputer capable of performing 24 trillion operations per second. Now that's more powerful than 150 Apple MacBook Pros. And it will run autopilot-capable vehicles in 12 to 18 months. NVIDIA imagines a $6 billion to $10 billion automotive opportunity. Of that, $2 billion will be in the digital cockpit, $2 billion in self-driving cars, and $2 billion to $6 billion on transportation as a service. Meanwhile, Local Motors, which is a local company based in Phoenix that's been making 3D printed cars, opened a new facility yesterday in Maryland and introduced a new self-driving electric bus. It's a small bus, only carries 12 passengers. It's not so fast, only about 12 miles per hour, and it can't go very far, only about a 30-mile range. The miniature EV bus is called Ollie, and it will use Watson, IBM's suite of artificial intelligence software, to understand what's going on around them as they move, as well as whatever their human passengers ask of them. Ollie will be demonstrated in National Harbor, Maryland, over the next few weeks, with additional trials expected in Las Vegas and Miami. And yes, the minibus is 3D printed. Takes about 10 hours to print the vehicle, another hour for assembly of parts. NASA is best known for missions to space, but they have an impressive history of flight closer to Earth. In the past, NASA experimental or X planes broke the sound barrier. That plane was called the X-1. They flew to the edge of space. They tested unusual concepts like forward swept wings. Today, NASA revealed the name of their latest plane concept. It's officially the X-57, a converted light plane with 14 electric engines, 12 on the leading edge of the wing for takeoffs and landings, and one larger motor on each wing tip for use while at cruise altitude. NASA's aeronautical innovators hope to validate the idea that distributing electric power across a number of motors integrated with an aircraft in this way will result in a 5-time reduction in the energy required for a private plane to cruise at 175 miles per hour. As many as 5 larger transport-scale X planes also are planned. The commercial sector is working at electric planes as well. Airbus and Siemens have said they'll put a team of 200 engineers on the project. In May, Airbus CEO Tom Enders said that a 100-seat hybrid electric passenger plane could be in the skies by 2030. It flew a 2-seat electric plane over the English Channel last year. Boeing is working on its own idea that would use conventional jet engines for takeoff, then switch to electric power during flight. With every passing day, it feels like the robot uprising is getting a little closer. Earlier this week, there was a rebellion of sorts, a robot made by a Russian firm called Promobot, designed to roam around on its own, engage with humans, and promote products to them at events. Well, a researcher in Russia left a gate open, and the robot tried to escape. It got out of the building, onto a street, made it about 50 yards before its batteries failed. Hopefully, this was just an isolated incident and not the start of a larger, coordinated effort to overthrow humanity. Only time will tell. For now, stay calm and carry on. And as always, we invite you to join us at moneyradio.com for live streaming and archived audio. The daily blog is eatthebankers.com. There you'll find text, audio, author interviews, free podcast, and much more at eatthebankers.com. Right now it's time for the 420 break, but don't go far. We'll be right back.